Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, just as we all expected in Will Levis's first start, 4 touchdown passes. What did you make of his performance on Sunday? And how much do you think that game and that performance could influence what the Titans do before the trade deadline?
Well, I think that, well, first off, in terms of the performance, look, I was surprised by it. It's a very short list of people to throw 4 touchdowns and no interceptions in the first start. So I was surprised. It obviously was a really good performance. It kind of, I think, cleared things up in terms of, you know, what probably should happen this coming week, which looks like it is. And then, you know, in terms of how it affects the trade deadline, I still think, like, whatever your plan was, you know, we talked a week ago after the Kevin Byard trade, I feel like that's gotta stay the plan, because if anything, I mean, it makes you feel like, look, maybe we have something with a quarterback who'll be on a rookie contract. And if that's the case, then, you know, you would want as much ammunition as you possibly could over the next 3 years.
And Mike Vrabel talked with the media yesterday, and he said, you know, we would consider, if Ryan Tannehill gets healthy, you know, bringing him back, making him the starter, and of course couch that by saying these are all hypotheticals. After that performance on Sunday, do you think the Titans could go back to Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can. I mean, we have to remember, too, look, there's just 1 week from Will Levis. You know, you have another week, and it's not the same type of performance. There won't be that same energy in terms of excitement for him. Do I think they can go back to him? I think they can, but let's just say Levis doesn't do what he did this last weekend, but he, you know, throws 2 touchdowns and doesn't have a turnover. Like, I think it'll be harder and harder to continue to go back to him, especially when you look at just the contract situation for Ryan Tannehill in the 2024 season. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I would also just say this is, like, you've seen, you know, between, you know, just with everything going on in terms of the trade deadline and certainly some activity today, like, I don't believe that is a possibility, and I've seen people saying that, but I can't find the partner where that would make sense.
Now, Tim, we talked with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, explain to us what you saw from Levis, because listen, we saw the touchdown passes and, you know, the poise and whatnot, but is there something else that you saw in Will Levis that gives you a sense of, okay, I believe this kid can do some things in his league. He can be the Titans quarterback moving forward.
I think there were 2 things that I thought were probably the most encouraging. Okay. And so if you just take, like, you just take the 2 long touchdown passes. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, the first one, like, there's a level of trust with that I think that some guys, like, it takes, some guys never really get there. Some guys, it takes a little while to get there. Listen, maybe part of it is being a little bit naive. So, like, on stuff like that, where it's like, look, I got to trust. Like, I'm going to throw it here, trusting that the receiver is going to end up getting on top, trusting that the receiver will fight for the football. Like, that's an important element to this, because it's not always going to look perfectly before you, you know, let the ball out of your hands. You know, similar to the long touchdown pass where, you know, it's clearly a shot. They're moving the pocket to the right. But that's an intentional, like, hey, look, we're doing this to buy a little bit extra time to really launch the football down the field. That stuff's good. But I would also say this. There was a play, I forget if it was 3rd or 4th quarter, where he gets a high snap, and it's a design run play. And he gets – and a lot of times young quarterbacks will do this. You get a high snap, and, you know, the back is not looking at the football or where the snap goes. And, you know, he's just taking his steps and he's expecting the football to be a certain place. And so a lot of times a young quarterback will kind of take that high snap, and then like he'll try to get the back of the ball, and he'll kind of put it on his hip, and then there's a fumbled exchange. Well, he gets this high snap, and like he doesn't flinch. He immediately like, all right, that's the hole where the back was going. I'm just going to get what I can, and we're gonna play another down. I thought that was as good of a play out of a young quarterback that you could have in that environment, because I think what it alerts you to is just an awareness of like, hey, I'm not going to make a bad play, but not in a sense where you're paralyzed and don't know what to do. So I don't know if I'm articulating that correctly.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
Remember the play, but like he's got the back to his left, snap is super high. He's going to be late on the handoff most likely. Now, he might get the handoff, but he doesn't even mess with it. He's like, nope, you know what? High snap. I'm not fooling with it. I think he picks up a yard or two. Like that, to me, that's good winning football if other aspects of your team are playing well.
Now, moving forward with Will Levis in this game this week versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, how do you think they approach it? Because I know, you know, fans look at it from the standpoint of, okay, he does well, and everybody's still holding their breath. Then if he goes out in on such a short week against a much better defense from the standpoint of they can really truly get to the quarterback, and say he doesn't play as well, say he doesn't have four touchdowns. I don't expect him to have four touchdowns. I expect him to throw an interception, honestly. But if he does throw an interception, how should the organization or how should the coaching staff look at that? Should they say, well, it's a short week, you know, it was bound to happen, let's regroup and see what he does with another full week of practice and preparation?
Yeah, I don't think that anybody should totally freak out because he threw four touchdowns, just like I don't think that anyone should if a guy turns the ball over. The reality is, with guys that are not high first-round draft picks that everybody's signing off on right away, is everybody is like a little hesitant to believe it. Look, it happened with Kirk Cousins. It happened with Dak Prescott. Those guys are starters. Those guys are really good. They deserve to be starters. They've been rewarded with huge contracts. But there was a hesitation the entire time with it. Look, Brock Purdy's going through it right now. Brock Purdy like came in and it was basically like no mistakes for whatever, 10 games. You know, now all of a sudden he's turned the football over a few times and everyone's like, yeah, I don't know. See, we told you he's just a guy. And I think that, you know, that's a bit of an overreaction also. So I just like, what do I think? Like, I think that there has to be a leash to, all right, let's say he turns the football over. Like, let's look at it and see, is that something we feel like would happen, you know, more? Like, why did it happen? You know, can we trust him in big moments? I don't think there should be a big swing overreaction either way. Should you be encouraged by four touchdowns and no picks and some of the good stuff you saw? Absolutely. And so because of that, should he have a longer leash, you know, in terms of some poor decisions that he makes? Yeah, like he's earned it, you know, through one game now. So I would say this, D. Mace, I think one of the big things that how I would evaluate him on how this next week goes is you mentioned the pass rush. Well, I think one of the major things I would say going into this is, look, here's the deal. We cannot allow T.J. Watt to take the game over. So we, this game, are going to have to play with kind of a clock in our head that might be a little bit different. And we've got to understand the issues that we're going to have blocking him. And, all right, so how does he handle that? Like, does he play in a way that he grasps that you might have to play differently depending on the opponent each week? Like, and if that happens, then I'd be encouraged about it, even if he does have an interception or a fumble.
I was actually blown away by the offensive line, by the Titans. I just looked at the numbers. The Falcons have a pretty good defense, a really good defense statistically. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the offensive line's best game of the year. So that really helped Levis succeed, didn't it?
Oh, there's no question. Listen, and that happens every single week. You know, and we talk so much about quarterbacks and receivers, and there are times that quarterbacks can play really well, and they can be the eraser for a left guard whiffing. And next thing you know, instead of a sack, it's a completion with a run and catch after it. So, but like by and large, when you look at these situations, a lot of the time, look, it happened with Herbert the other night. Like, he was protected so well. Like, look at Justin Herbert's night the other night, and then look and see if there's anyone anywhere near him. Like, so that is still, you know, the biggest key, I think, to good quarterback play. And so, yeah, if you're a young quarterback and you have a clean pocket and you're not constantly dealing with people in your face or static in the pocket, you're going to play better. And I think there's an element of that as well.
Where do you see the Steelers right now? I've watched a couple of their games where I thought they were very fortunate to win, but it's so crazy how bleak it looked a couple weeks ago for the Titans. But if they could find a way to win this game, you know, they'd have the same record as the Steelers and a tiebreaker mm-hmm. over them.
Yeah, the Steelers are interesting. You think about what they, you know, recently or have been going through with their offensive coordinator. I mean, it's been brutal. Like, I mean, you watch games on Saturday and, you know, fire Matt Canada chance, you know, come up and you're like, we're not even talking pro football right now. Like how is this happening? I mean, the scrutiny on their play calling has been brutal. Now, obviously, Pickett gets hurt in the game. And so now you're going back to Trubisky. I think we probably all know kind of who and what Mitch Trubisky is. And I would classify him as one of the better backups in the league. He's super athletic, and so he's going to be somewhat tricky to defend because of his ability as a runner. And Tomlin clearly manages the game extremely well, and we'll do a good job of not letting things get lopsided. And then they'll play really good defense. So I think if you're going to beat the Steelers in this environment, like, you can't make it easy on them by turning the football over. Like that, and you play a young quarterback who's going to see some looks he hadn't seen before. He's going to see some pass rushers that he, you know, hasn't dealt with before. And, you know, I think that probably ends up being the story of the game.
What, one more for me, Tim, before I pass it back to my colleagues there. I was curious your interpretation of the Adam Schefter report, where he basically said that the deadline for Derrick Henry to restructure his contract, which I guess presumably would make it easier for him to be traded, expired. And so what I couldn't read into that was he saying that there was a discussion between two parties and say, Derek, would you restructure your contract so we could make it easier? Or do you think that was just a deadline that passed and they intentionally just let it pass? There was no discussion. I think it's pretty important because I wonder if there was talks just kind of feeling out Derrick Henry about how he felt about being traded. Now it looks like it's very unlikely.
Yeah, and you know, I would agree with you. I can't say that I fully understood the context of that either, but I think because of that tweet, it certainly would I don't know what the media availability is for, you know, the people that would be appropriate to ask that question to, but I think that it definitely, at least for me, got my attention from a standpoint of, you know, was there a certain time to do it? I definitely took it more as, the idea that he might be traded was out there. In order to make that happen, there would probably have to be some tweaking of the contract. And if you wanted to do that, like, in order for us to have the time to figure out if we could make this work, like, it would have to be now. Like, I kind of took it that way. I don't know if that's accurate or not, because, typically speaking, where there's smoke, there's fire on these things. And his name was out there quite a bit. And, you know, then it was out there that, no, we're not doing anything with him. And, you know, then you start to wonder, well, was it him? Like, was he interested in saying, yeah, look, maybe I would take a little bit of a haircut in order to be available to go play for the Buffalo Bills or someone like that. And, so I took it as they were there were at least two parties, Titans and Derrick Henry's camp, having a conversation about the idea of him potentially being moved. That's how I took it. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's certainly how it felt.
Now, Tim, what do you think about the Jacksonville Jaguars? Because there's, you know, before they got a good win against Pittsburgh, it seemed like they were it seemed like they can play the type of game they need to play. If they need to play a muddy game, a dirty, muck-it-up game, it seems like they have the guys on offense that can do it. If they need to play a game where they need to spread it out and pass it, it seems like they can do that as well. What do you think about this Jacksonville Jaguars team after, what, 7 or 8 games? Because there are still some that are, you know, they're waiting for the old Jags to show up.
Yeah, I don't think they're the old Jags. I would say that. I think they're a really good team. I think they're better on offense than defense, but I do think they have some difference makers on defense. I think they they have elements that the things they do well where they can rush the passer well. They I think they're good enough on that side of the ball for sure. And then, from the standpoint of them offensively, I think that Travis Etienne is one of the better backs in the league. I think he's that fast, that physical, that versatile. I think he's that good. And so, you then pair him with, Calvin Ridley, who's a very good player, and the quarterback, who's a good player, and Evan Ingram, who's, a unique guy to defend. And then I think they're well coached. So, you kind of go through all of it and it's like, look, they're a good football team. Now, they're kind of the team who I think that when you look at, do you find a way to win a couple of these games and now your record looks, significantly different than a team that you maybe are somewhat similar to? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a little bit of who they are. So, like, for example, they're 6-2. The Kansas City Chiefs are 6-2. Look, I think the Chiefs are a better football team. The Ravens, are probably a better football team. The Bills are probably as good, and they're not, they're not 6-2. The Dolphins are 6-2, and I think they're probably a better football team. So, they feel like a team that's like won a few of those games that could have gone either way, and because of it, now they're right there with Miami, Baltimore, Kansas City, those football teams.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. You touched on it earlier, Tim, but I wanted to get a little bit more into it of Ryan Tannehill and a potential trade or his trade value, because I don't really know what the trade value is for an injured quarterback on an expiring contract. But I look at teams like, the Vikings that could potentially be desperate. Do you think there is a market out there for Ryan Tannehill? And if you're the Titans, would you want to, or what would you need to get in return to trade away maybe what you would view as your insurance policy at the quarterback position?
Well, I think if you're the Titans, honestly, you're probably fine with taking almost anything, from a standpoint of, he's injured. Just looking at the number here, I mean, basically there's an out. The dead cap on him next year is $9.2 million. Like, this is the out. Like, I can't really see a scenario where, he ends up being back because of injury, age, salary, investment at the quarterback position through the draft, all of that stuff. And so, the trade partner, I would say that obviously his injury situation hurts quite a bit because, he's had a, he's had an ankle injury in the past. It's been significant. And so to really know where he is, I think there'd have to be a lot of communication and trust, on that. And I just would say this, I look at, for example, the Vikings. Their season could be ruined because of what happened to Cousins. And they're in a unique situation with Cousins. So where would they be on it? I'll give you another example. The Jets. the Jets obviously have a lot of money wrapped up into Aaron Rodgers. Seeing him warm up last week makes me feel like, you know what? He could be back, but they need to still be in it for him to be back. And so if they got just a little bit better quarterback play, they might still be able to be in it. But what does that look like for them? Are they assuming half of a year of salaries, you know, on a $36 million cap hit? I just don't know where the trade partner is. It's got to be a need and a want, and then also a healthy player to help that team get to the point that they're trying to get to.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, always appreciate our weekly visits with you. Thanks for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
You got it. See you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. All right, coming up next, let's get into a little bit of trade or not to trade. We'll step into the GM's shoes or Vrabel's shoes or whoever the heck makes decisions around here. What we would need in order to trade some players that could potentially be on the trading block. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.